Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Want to increase your salary? Discover your earning potential with CareerBuilder. CareerBuilder.com knows you have superpowers that make you good to your job. They're called skills. And CareerBuilder.com has tools specially designed to help you move up, like CareerBuilder CoLab. Check out resume examples. Learn what recruiters are looking for. Search salaries. And view different career paths based on your skills. You'll be amazed to know how many ways you can use the skills you already have to build your future. Visit CareerBuilder.com.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Hey, it's Fantasy Football Weekly Conference Championship time. I'm Paul Charchian, my co-host, Brian Johnson.
What's up, Charch?
Hey, hey, hey.
So last week wasn't really the best weekend of football, was it?
You see, I was nervous about them. Like, I think they're going to be blowouts.
Yeah.
And mostly they were. And then some of the games weren't as good as we had hoped. And I don't know. It turned out okay. It was still playoff football.
Yeah, I guess the Kansas City-Jacksonville game was the best one. But is it crazy to think that if Mahomes didn't get hurt, that the Jaguars might have...
They might have
had a better chance.
Maybe.
That game just got weird at that point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Jamal Agnew. I don't know what he was thinking.
Oh, that fall. Oh, that hurt. That hurt.
He's had so many big plays, though, throughout the course of the season. They wouldn't have been in that game.
You Jamal get the Agnew. Feeling.
He was like that X factor on special teams and some offensive plays.
If he doesn't have that that turnover deep in their territory, who knows? Thing could have been a little bit different.
The rest of those games were pretty much duds, though, unfortunately.
We're going to break down this week's games, San Francisco at Philadelphia and, of course, Cincinnati at Kansas City. But I've got a couple odds and ends I want to talk to you about, fantasy football related. I want to start here. There's one player in each of the four remaining teams that could reasonably be taken first overall in next August's drafts. Let me start with the chalky guys, the two chalky guys. Let's start with Christian McCaffrey. Do you think he should go at pick number one next year?
We talked about, you know, we forecasted the first round a few weeks ago, and I recall saying McCaffrey and I think Eckler are the two running backs we'll see go in the first round. Maybe Barkley, but that's it. I think we'll see a lot of quarterbacks in the first round.
Yeah, I think you're wrong, but I'm way more skeptical about it. There's so many people who just cannot not take a running back in the first round. You know, in every league, there's, you know, half of the league can't imagine any scenario in which they would not take a running back in the first round.
Well, regardless of where they go or how many go in the first round, McCaffrey certainly up there as RB1. I think it's McCaffrey and Eckler. And then
I'm talking about the first overall pick.
Because I think there's going to be a plethora of running backs coming back in the second and third round. I do, at least. I'm not going to go running back first overall. I'm going to go with one of the players I'm assuming you're going to get to in a minute here on another team.
All right. So you're on Christian McCaffrey. No. I'd be... I think it's a way riskier pick than I would normally put at that position. But I think there are going to be some people who will take Christian McCaffrey at one. I won't do it. But, you know, there's a case to be made that, you know, 49ers elite offense. It's always going to be run heavy. Christian McCaffrey's a great player, great offensive line. There's going to be lots of reasons why Christian McCaffrey can go first. And I bet, but next August, he will be the consensus first selection.
Mm.
Christian McCaffrey. Not that I would do it, but I think America will do it. Let me give you this guy. I mentioned, again, a player from each of the remaining teams. They could go first overall. Travis Kelce.
That's who I was alluding to just before. Yeah, he's my first overall pick. For years, we've said, you know, we'd rather get off a guy a year early before he falls off that cliff. Yeah. But we're really talking about running backs and wide receivers. We've had that conversation. Not really a tight end. It's just, I feel like we go over it every week. He's essentially two tight ends in one and elite level production at that. I mean, he's a top five wide receiver that you get to play at tight end. And there's no one comparable to him at his position. No, not Mark Andrews, not George Kittle, not Kyle Pitts yet, but it's Travis Kelce. And just because the delta between him and tight end two is so huge, I will go down with the ship. Like if
this is the year that he falls off, you're willing to take it.
He's the one guy. I'll be holding on to him, and we'll go off together. But
running back, very Titanic of you.
I've never seen Titanic, by the way. Would you believe that? People don't believe me when I tell them that I've never seen Titanic.
I haven't either.
We are some of the good ones.
I see. That's how I see it too. We're the good guys here that didn't see Titanic.
We should be
applauded for not seeing Titanic.
Back in the day. I mean, I've seen bits and pieces because it's been on TV or whatever, but I don't know, for James Cameron to have, I don't know if temerity is the right word, audacity to do a love story, but then the setting is the Titanic?
Well,
one of the greatest tragedies in American history.
That's what makes it so great, right? That's what people would say the whole point is that it's obviously not going to work out. You know somebody's going to drown before you start the movie. You know,
excessive foreshadowing
How about this? James Cameron movies suck ass, and I'm including the current Avatar in that.
Yeah.
They are terrible, objectively terrible movies with wooden characters who are absolutely stereotypes of whoever they're supposed to be. I think his movies are rubbish.
Not the Terminator.
Terminator 1's a pretty good movie.
Well, Terminator 2 is better than Terminator 1. The rare sequel.
No,
oh, come on.
No, it is not. Terminator 2 is a deeply flawed movie. You know who's not deeply flawed? Travis Kelce. When you get Travis Kelce, you get almost double the points of the number 2 tight end. And if you were to slough the position, you were to go all the way down to the number 12 tight end, the last tight end in your league. And this year, that would have been Dalton Schultz. You're at roughly triple or quadruple the fantasy points if you have Travis Kelce from the guy who sloughed that position down to number 12. And a lot of times, by the way, when you slough down to you slough that position, you're the last one to take a tight end, you don't get 12. You ended up at tight end like 16, 17, 18, and you're rotating guys and, you know, stuff like that. So it could be even more dramatic.
Yeah, it'll be like 33 going into next year, but he showed no signs of slowing down this past season.
No, he really didn't.
Signs of speeding up almost. Like, he looked just as good as he ever has, if not better. So, yeah, he's my 101.
Philadelphia's got a player who could go first overall, Jalen Hurts. If you believe that there's still some upside for Jalen Hurts beyond what we saw this year, and this year he was, depending on your scoring system, the highest scoring quarterback or the second highest scoring quarterback despite missing, was it three games? I think he missed, is it two or three? He missed,
two.
I think, two. Missed two games. Had he played a full season, Jalen Hurts probably would have been, you know, a lock as the highest scoring quarterback. Now, the reason I think you can make a case for Jalen Hurts is because, again, compared to sloughing that position, his rushing makes him, you're getting like a 50% bonus over the number 12 quarterback, you know, somebody immobile, you know, like Jared Goff.
Oh, at least. I mean, he had 13 rushing touchdowns, and like you just said, he missed two games. That would have been the second most rushing touchdowns among running backs. Only Jamal Williams had more. He had 17. Then there's Eckler, and Derrick Henry had 13. And Eckler had 915 rushing yards. I feel like Hurts.
Hurts had 763.
And you could argue if you played those two games, he would have finished with more rushing yards.
More rushing yards than us. You get Austin Eckler plus. Yeah.
Although
Eckler's obviously got all the receiving yards to go with it.
He and Josh Allen are right there. I mean, Hurts bulked up a little bit this past season. But I don't know. Allen's just built a little.
Well, he's got the bigger frame. Hurts is way more muscular than Josh Allen is. They're different runners.
Have a little dough to absorb all those hits, though.
But here's the thing. Hurts gets the ball inside the five a lot. And Josh Allen doesn't. as much. He does some, but not as much. And I think that's, you get touchdown, predictable touchdown rushing from Jalen Hurts more than you do Josh Allen. Hurts is going to be my number one ranked quarterback last year. He was my number two going into this year.
Yeah, and he's got the better, Hurts that is the better weapons through the air. Brown, Smith, Goddard, over Diggs.
No, he does, over Diggs, and Davis, then the pretty big drop-off. Yeah, I agree with that.
But yeah, I think we'll see Allen, Hurts, and I think even Patrick Mahomes in the first round this year in one quarterback leagues. Mm-hmm. Maybe even Justin Fields. We'll see what happens with him. But I think Justin Fields will be an en vogue early second round.
Yeah, pick at latest. I think you're right about
because
that.
Because of the rushing. Yeah, he and Hurts. They're running back. Yeah. RB1s.
You know, Justin Fields led all quarterbacks in rushing yards, and it's not close. And he missed a couple of games, too. Yep.
And the start to the season was brutal for him. You can almost just say, like, his first five games.
Yeah, that's a great point. He wasn't doing much of anything. You know, week one was the monsoon. Week two was a brutal matchup with San Francisco. Didn't do much in those games. And Justin Fields came on so strong with the rushing after that.
All right, so we got one team left.
One team left. Bengals.
1-1. Who's Tyler Boyd?
In your world, yes. Jamar Chase, I mean, you know, what's not to like about Jamar Chase? You could easily take him with the first pick overall and just be happy that you've got Joe Burrow's primary target.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens. I believe T. Higgins is a free agent.
Going,
or he has one more year left.
I think he's got one, yeah. Okay. And they'll exercise his fifth-year option. But I think he's locked down for a while.
T. Higgins almost helps Jamar Chase's cause.
Agreed.
Higgins is healthy. And you know, I've always kind of leaned, it's Jefferson or Chase, really. Cooper Kupp will be in that convo still, but he's over 30 now, I believe. Mm-hmm. So it's really Chase or Jefferson to me. And Jefferson always seemed like the safer guy, or at least go into this year with the same ceiling, safer floor. But that's kind of flip-flopped with Jamar Chase. Jefferson has had the bigger dud games this year than Chase has, and they both had those high spike week type
games. Well, and the other part of it is, you know, and I like Kirk Cousins, extremely capable quarterback, but, you know, just the reality of it is Joe Burrow's awesome. I mean, he's on a Hall of Fame level start to his career. And if I got to hook my wagon to a 35, soon to be 36-year-old quarterback or Joe Burrow, who's going to be, 26, you know, I just feel like I think I'm more settled with Jamar Chase, and I feel like that's a safer spot.
Yeah, as of right now, the Vikings have to do something to address their wide receiver too, because it's not Thielen.
They need
someone
year.
Who can stretch the field and just get the double teams, the bracket coverage off of Jefferson, because it happened on a weekly basis. But so they need someone. They need a T. Higgins type of player to help pop the top.
So we talked about Jalen Hurts, Travis Kelce, Christian McCaffrey, Jamar Chase. I think each one of them is the number one ranked player at their position at draft time next year. Justin Jefferson, it might be Justin Jefferson is the number one at wide receiver, but I think Jamar Chase could easily be that.
But out of those four, I got Kelce because Josh Allen is close to Hurts, Jefferson close to Chase, Eckler, Barkley, close enough to McCaffrey.
Yeah. Nobody's close to Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce.
Right now I'm on Kelce, but I get the feeling I'm going to be warming up to Jalen Hurts with my first pick next year. But I get 6 months to change my mind on that. Let's break down some of these games. San Francisco. Well, some of them. How about both of them? San Francisco taking on Philadelphia. Get this. Both of the quarterbacks in this game are younger than the cornerbacks who played in the college football championship game this year.
The quarterbacks?
Quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, Stetson Bennett's, 30? And then I don't even know the other guy.
Yeah, it is crazy. Yeah, it is crazy. And both quarterbacks in this game, Brock Purdy, Jalen Hurts, career-defining moments with major ramifications organizationally for themselves. You know, if Jalen Hurts puts up a great game here, I think he solidifies himself as a big spot playmaker and the long-term solution for Philly at quarterback. If Jalen Hurts goes belly up here and has a terrible game, then there's still going to be some questions. If the passing is bad, he throws two or three picks. I think it's going to open up an offseason of people saying they're not entirely sure about Jalen Hurts yet, but he can completely change the narrative. Brock Purdy can set himself up as the Niners 23 starter if he's not already. He could probably get himself a new contract because usually quarterbacks, if you roll into a season as your team's starting quarterback, they're not going to pay you as a seventh rounder.
Yeah, if they win this game and it's not like if he plays, if he just manages this game and they win, he is the starter next year. I don't know how you cannot.
And it signals the end of Trey Lance in San Francisco and the end of Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. Those guys will move on. Lance, they'll both work their ways off that team knowing they can't be starters and they both want to be starters. So I think they'll find new homes. So I mean, just massive implications here. And the last thing I'll mention before we dive into some of the individual matchups, San Francisco, Philadelphia. San Francisco's the best run defense, and it's not terribly close. Philly's the best pass defense, and it's not terribly close. These are amazingly good defenses, particularly at those two things.
Yeah, what's the over-under on this game?
45.5. Yep.
I kind of feel the under in this one.
Well, you know, you can beat San Francisco through the air. You can beat Philly on the ground a little bit, although they've gotten a lot better at that. I there are some angles here that worry me. Do you think the other shoe drops on Brock Purdy right here in a big spot in Philadelphia with the Super Bowl on the line?
Yeah, I don't like calling him a rookie anymore because it's the end of the year. He's been in the NFL a whole season plus. He's started half of the season essentially, but this is going to be, he has not experienced anything quite like what he's walking into to play in Philadelphia in the NFC Championship game. Flying across the country, nonetheless, he's had road games, but he hasn't had played in a road game quite like this against a team like this. So, if I had to pick other shoe falling off or staying on, I would go falling off. But we shall see.
It's a brutal matchup. Yeah. So, the line on this, by the way, his line, the Brock Purdy line, 221 yards. He's been under that number in five of his eight games, but more importantly, Philly has held opposing quarterbacks under 221, 13 of the last 14 games.
Yeah.
Imminently bettable for those that want to do so. Brock Purdy under on this. And then, you know, keep in mind, here's Philly's pass defense. You know, I said they're the best pass defense and it's not particularly close. Listen to this. Number one in net passing yards, number two in gross passing yards, first in sack percentage, first in yards per pass attempt, number one in pass rush by Pro Football Focus, number five in pass coverage by Pro Football Focus. They've got the great outside cornerbacks, Darius Slay, James Bradbury. It's such a great pass defense for Philadelphia.
It's gonna be a long day for Brock. I'm not saying that the Niners can't pull it off, but they're gonna need some. Their defense, they're gonna have to hold Philly under 21 points to win this.
Probably
game.
That's not an easy job, easy thing to do. Now, Avante Maddox, Philadelphia slot corner, may or may not play. We're waiting for final news on that. Particularly if he doesn't go, then I'm kind of intrigued about the wide receivers that line up in the slot, which is Juwan Jennings and Deebo Samuel primarily. George Kittle stands in the slot. Those are guys that could have a little bit more luck. The guy who's going to be left out in the cold here, I think, is Brandon Ayuk, who plays almost entirely outside, and that puts him into Bradbury Slay. Get this, last week, James Bradbury gave up 3 yards. In his coverage.
Yeah, there wasn't many catches made by the Giants wide receivers or players.
Well, and including Richie James dropping a wide open touchdown at the end of the game.
That was a glorious garbage time opportunity.
It was. I had touted him on VEASAN with Mitch and Pauly he was plus 380 for an anytime touchdown. And I had touted him on Thursday and you know, near the end of the game, like, he's not going to come through on this. And then there's that pass. And I'm like, oh, we're going to hit the plus 380. Doink.
The old alligator arms.
Let me give you one other angle in this game that I like from a betting standpoint. Kenneth Gainwell, over 7.5 receiving yards.
Okay.
In a nutshell, if you think the Eagles will complete one pass to their runners, this is a hit. Because Miles Sanders and Boston Scott just don't catch. Over the last month, they've combined for a catch. He's been targeted. Gainwell's been targeted at least once in 8 straight games. He's posted 7 or more yards in 6 of the last 7 games. And here's the best part. For as great as the Niners' defense is, and it's obviously great, this is the one weird thing that they don't do well. Niners rank 26th. In receptions allowed to running backs and 16th in yards allowed to running backs. The average running back game against them is 5 receptions for 34 yards. I need 7.5 yards. That's it. I need 1/5 and give me one reception for 8 yards and I'm set. That's all I need is 1/5 of what the Niners normally give up.
Go get it.
Kenneth Gainwell, over 7.5 yards. My DFS play from this game is Deebo Samuel running from the slot. Again, I mentioned Avante Maddox may not go. His backup is hybrid safety Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who allowed 6 of 8 passes to be completed on him last week. And Deebo Samuel's pretty cheap. I want to say he logged in right around $5,000. He's way off people's radar. Finally healthy, mostly healthy at this stage. I kind of like Deebo Samuel here.
I like it. Yeah, his ownership should be somewhat low compared to the Jamar Chases and the Devontae Smiths, A.J. Browns of the world.
I think so.
Hey, guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball. We do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet? Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got it. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Want to increase your salary? Discover your earning potential with CareerBuilder. CareerBuilder.com knows you have superpowers that make you good at your job. They're called skills. And CareerBuilder.com has tools specially designed to help you move up, like CareerBuilder Colab. Check out resume examples. Learn what recruiters are looking for. Search salaries. And view different career paths based on your skills. You'll be amazed to know how many ways you can use the skills you already have to build your future. Visit CareerBuilder.com.
Talk to me about Cincinnati, Kansas City. I got a couple angles I like, but I want you to go first.
Well, we got to start. I want to start with Kansas City or Cincy players, but we got to talk Patrick Mahomes out of the gate, I suppose, right? Video has surfaced throughout the week.
He looks fine.
He looks like he's trying.
Is he trying to look fine? You think there's some showmanship here?
There is. He's not putting, he's making it appear he's putting a lot of weight on that ankle. Which I believe was his right ankle, right? Yeah, his right ankle. I think he'd be in trouble if you were to go out and play a game of hopscotch in the parking lot right now. I don't think he could execute in that match. I think he's going to be limited. So I don't think we're looking at 100% Patrick Mahomes by any means, but we'll get to the Kansas City side. I guess sort of a spoiler alert, just because I don't know. No one knows how effective he's going to be. I'm kind of staying away from any Patrick Mahomes props because –
It feels dangerous, doesn't it?
Very dangerous. Yep. So yep. I won't be going there. But starting on the Bengals side, I'm going back to the well with receiving props for running backs against the Chiefs. Went with Travis Etienne last week. Fell short of the 19.5 yards. He had 18 yards like on the first two drives. And then he didn't catch a pass the rest of the game. Jermichael Hasty caught a pass. It was brutal. He was trending in that direction. Didn't work out for Etienne, but I'm going with not Joe Mixon. I'm going with Samaje Perine. I like his over at 15.5 yards. I mentioned this last week. The Chiefs allowed the second most receiving yards to running backs in the regular season, 46 per game. Joe Mixon is the starter, but here are the backups who have faced the Chiefs since week 14 who would have hit this 15.5 receiving yard over. Marlon Mack had 62 receiving yards. Mike Boone, 27 yards. DJ Dallas, 32 receiving yards. Chase Edmonds, 39. So backups getting it done through the air. These teams actually met in week 13. Mixon didn't play, so Pirine was the lead back. He did catch six balls for 49 yards. Chris Evans chipped in with a one catch for 8 yards and a touchdown. So Mixon will start this game, but it was kind of a split backfield last week between Pirine and Mixon. Pirine caught five balls for 31 yards, also saw seven carries. So total 12 touchdowns. I think we see more of a balanced attack at running back in this game between Mixon and Pirine. So I like the over on the 15 and a half receiving yards for Samaje.
I do too. And I'll tell you what, if you were to just look at the film of Pirine and the time, you know, his carries, we looked at all of Pirine's carries and all of Mixon's carries throughout the whole year. I don't think you could be convinced that Joe Mixon's the best running back on the Bengals right now.
And Mixon was getting the majority of the touches in the last few weeks of the regular season, but now I'm thinking it's because they wanted to keep Pirine.
If they were to keep him fresh, maybe that's it. I don't know.
To the playoffs. So, I expect Pirine will see 30 to 40% of the touches, about 60% of the snaps. So I'll take that over 15 and a half receiving yards. And I like Hayden Hurst. So I do a lot of props on underdog where you just pick over unders. And you got to get them all right for how many you pick. And they offer fantasy points as one in half PPR. So I like Hurst at over 6.95 fantasy points on underdog. But for those who don't play underdog and just looking at regular books, I like the over the 35.5 receiving yards against the Chiefs, who allowed 60 yards per game to tight ends over the last five regular season games. Evan Engram came up a little short last week. He only had 31 yards, but he did catch five balls. That's good volume. And before Hurst scored against the Bills last week, this is speaking to the over the fantasy points prop, Buffalo last surrendered a tight end touchdown in week 12 of the 2021 season.
Jeez.
So Hurst broke that streak, ended that drought. So I like his chances to score and go over the 35.5 receiving yards.
Hurst anytime touchdown plus 320.
Yeah, I love it. Love that. And it wasn't Hurst who was the first touchdown scorer. Did you see the kid who hit a four leg.
Yeah. I saw that. It was six digits hit on a $5 bet.
Yeah. It was 73,000.
Oh, was it 73? Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. He hit a first touchdown. He got every game right. Kelce, Goddard, Jamar Chase, and then Schultz.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a video of him watching the,
oh, I didn't see that.
The Cowboys.
That'd
game.
Be insane.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet.
But, pretty awesome. But, I like that anytime call on Hurts and yeah. For sure. And maybe first time. Why not? And one more for the Bengals. Joe Burrow over 37.5 passing attempts. This seems a little too easy for him to hit this mark. The Chiefs own the fourth highest opponent passing play percentage in the regular season. Trevor Lawrence had 39 pass attempts against KC last week, and they didn't really possess the ball a ton. Jacksonville. And in the games prior in the regular season, Jarrett Stidham, 36 pass attempts against Chiefs. Russell Wilson, 38. Geno Smith, 40. So every opposing quarterback right in that range. And I think Burrow will hit that 37.5 with ease. Over to the Kansas City side. Fire up that peacock because we're going back to the Noah Gray well.
I was just waiting. I've got my Noah Gray over 10.5 yards sitting right here.
Oh, if you get 10.5, that's great. I'm seeing 12.5. The line might have moved, but
it may have moved.
I like it at 12.5. Certainly like it at 10.5. Said it last week, he needed 15.5. He basically needs a catch to hit these overs. And including last week, Noah Gray has caught at least one pass in 17 of 18 games this year. Mm-hmm. In his 17 games with at least one catch, Gray has recorded at least 12 yards in 13 of them. And the games he's fallen short, it's been like 10, 8. He's,
close.
He's right there. So he gets at least one catch every game. And for the record, he one of those games he went over 12 yards this season was against the Chiefs in week 13. He had 15. I'm sorry, against the Bengals in week 13. He had 15 yards. So Noah Gray over 12.5. And if you get him at 11.5 or 10.5, like you
even
saw
better.
It, love that.
I'll take a look and see if there's an updated line on Noah Gray.
Quinton Morris, 71 yards against Cincy last week. Mark Andrews, Josh Oliver at 99 yards against Cincy 2 weeks ago. So tight ends produce.
How about just backup tight ends? Just in recent games, these backup tight ends have all hit the over. Charlie Kohler, Jonnu Smith, Cade Otton, and Noah Gray in week 13 hit the over.
Love it. Noah Gray.
I know. It's a good opportunity. You can get him at over 10.5 on point bets. Points bet?
10.5.
Where's the plural on this? That is a great number. I like that play. If you can, you shop your props, as always.
And lastly, I'm sticking with tight ends, and we'll go with the bigger name tight end, Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. Anytime touchdown. The one I'm looking at is just over 0.5 touchdowns, but it's the same as anytime touchdown. If Travis Kelce's playing, I like his chances to score. He didn't score in the Week 13 matchup, but he scored in two previous games against the Bengals. Played him twice last year, once in the playoffs where he had 95 yards and a touchdown, 25 yards and a touchdown in the regular season against the Bengals last week. And it's a reverse homecoming game and slash spike game for Travis Kelce, who grew up in Cincinnati.
Okay.
Went to the University of Cincinnati.
And then they didn't draft him.
They didn't draft him. So I want to revisit the 2013 draft from a tight end perspective.
Okay.
The Bengals took Tyler Eifert. So Travis Kelce went in the third round, 63rd overall. Quite the difference from where the Bengals took Tyler Eifert in the first round, 21st overall. Eifert was all right for a minute. Clear mistake made by the hometown Bengals.
Without a doubt.
The next tight end taken in that draft was Zach Ertz, the Eagles.
Should have taken him too.
Yeah, Ertz pretty much worked out for
the Eagles. Yeah, no, he's been very good.
He has been good. Obviously, in hindsight, you would have taken Kelce, but you can't hate that selection too much by the Eagles. But you can hate the Cowboys and the 49ers selections at tight end before Travis Kelce. 47th overall, Dallas takes Gavin Escobar instead of Travis Kelce.
Wow.
Which is about 15 picks before Kelce went. Ugh. And then 8 picks before Kelce went to the Chiefs, 63rd overall. The San Francisco 49ers selected Vance McDonald.
Oh, Vance McDonald.
55th overall.
Ouch.
8 picks before Travis Kelce.
You can do this with almost every great player. You can go back and look at the guys who, the teams should have taken.
I love it.
It just goes to show it's not a science. We look back at it and go, well, duh, but it's not a science. It's really, really hard to know. And teams throw, thousands of hours and millions of dollars at trying to crack the code on these drafts and make sure every pick is right. And it's not easy.
Yep. So if your favorite player, your Devy player goes later in the draft than you were hoping, don't worry.
Yeah.
Odds are he's going to have a great career.
Can I give you one more from Cincinnati, Casey? How about Jerick McKinnon under 30.5 rushing yards? The number's as high as it is, I think, is because he ran for 51 against the Bengals back in week 13 in that matchup. But everything else screams under here. He's been held under 31 rushing yards in 4 straight and 16 of 19 games. And Cincinnati's been a great run defense. Since they saw McKinnon in week 13, they're giving up 3.4 yards per carry. That's it. McKinnon would have to carry the ball 10 times, 10 rushes for McKinnon to get back to hit the number here. So,
and those running back roles are clearly defined at this point in Kansas City. Pacheco is the better running back. McKinnon is the better receiver. Yes, there's a little crossover between the roles, but
not a lot.
Pacheco's getting the carries and McKinnon's getting the catches for the most part.
That's McKinnon's getting 10 rushes in this game. So, maybe there's some scenario. Well, there is a scenario where the Chiefs get way ahead early and run, but I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see that likely happening against Cincinnati. Yeah,
the Chiefs would love to run the ball 40 times in this game if they could, but I don't see that in the cards.
I don't either.
Since he's going to
be nice
put
for
up
the quarterback, they could do that.
Yeah, they're going to have to limit the hits that Mahomes takes, because I think he's going to be kind of a sitting duck back there.
I kind of do too.
I wish it wasn't that way. Yeah. It'd be much, but we'll see. He's going to play. Seems like he's going to play, but I think he's going to be a little gimpier than people. I think he's going to be gimpier in this game than he was in the game he got hurt.
Well, it's almost impossible. He was dragging his leg around last week.
But I mean, you stiffen up over time, especially over a week's time. And I don't know, the adrenaline's pumping in that game. They're probably going to.
You know what's going to be pumping? Is the painkillers they're going to be giving him in that ankle. Sure. That's definitely what they pump full of those.
Yep. His eyes will be a little dilated going into this game.
It's very possible. So who do you got winning? Who's your Super Bowl here?
I think the Bengals if Mahomes was healthy, fully healthy, I would go Chiefs, but I think the Bengals, they did it last year. against a healthier Mahomes. Mm-hmm. They won in Kansas City, so I'll go with the Bengals. And I don't see Brock Purdy beating the Eagles on either. The road.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've got the same teams. But what I like about this set of matchups, everybody deserves to be there. I got no problem with any of these four teams finding their way to the Super Bowl. And some years, there's some team that you just feel like caught some lucky breaks, isn't nearly as good as, you know, whatever. There's some team that, you know, just found its way there that doesn't feel like they actually were the team that belonged to be there, even though they won their games and they got there, but you weren't like, I get the feeling all four of these teams are really good teams and there's no bad matchup that comes out of this. No matter who wins, no matter what cross section of who plays who, the Vegas line at opening is going to be like 3 points.
And
they're all very evenly matched.
The four best teams are left. If you could put three AFC teams in the final four, I still don't think Buffalo is a better team than San Francisco or Cincinnati, for that matter. I think the four best teams are left, and hopefully we see some good games.
We probably will.
And no injuries.
Probably will. Thanks for listening. Next week, I've got something on our list to do for next week, and I think it's our lessons learned from last year. And then the week after that, we'll be previewing the Super Bowls, our final live game of 2022 season.
We're not going to break down the flag football game and kick tack toe. They'll be playing.
Ugh, gross.
And some other. Oh, I don't know what they're going to be playing.
That's so dumb. How is Tyler Huntley participating in this?
Yeah, I don't know. That's bizarre.
That is super bizarre.
There are some bigger snubs that I don't want to get into the snub talk.
Why do we even have to have this? Why does there have to even be an event? The players don't even want to do it. You know, it was bad enough when it was in Hawaii and everybody refused to go. And there was like four people who showed up and we're going to the ninth string quarterback and all that. Why does there even have to be any events? Why do we need a skills competition and a flag football game?
How many non-contact injuries do we need to see where we realize that they can still get hurt playing this flag football game? Remember back in the day when they would play flag football on the beach?
Sand football, yeah. Then Robert Edwards blew out his knee, and that was the end of it. I don't know.
That could happen on non-sand, too.
I just don't think anybody cares about these things. I don't know.
Not really.
Name your Pro Bowl teams and just let those guys bask in the glory of being Pro Bowlers, but don't play a Pro Bowl. I don't think that's unreasonable.
I mean, flag football is dumb. You know what else, lastly, is really bothers me now is when you see these guys doing backflips after they win.
Games?
Yeah. And sometimes after they score a touchdown, if I was a general manager or owner of an NFL team, backflips certainly would not be allowed by any of my players.
That'd be a contractual obligation.
They're better athletes than Bill Gramatica, but remember Bill Gramatica?
I do. Blew out his ACL celebrating after a field goal.
Celebrating a field goal. It was against the Giants, too, I remember, at the Meadowlands. And it was just like a meaningless game. Like, yeah, it was jumped up and did the, yeah, came down. So stop backflipping, everyone out there. No need. You get hurt.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We look forward to chatting with you next week and previewing the Super Bowl week after that. Bye-bye.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.